I want to revisit what we talked about last week a little bit. And if you remember, the finished work that God has done, I actually want to talk about that a little more, that specific thing. You know, what does it mean when God says it is finished? And because last week we saw that, you know, he said it was finished, but then it was to come, right? So I think we did get into that pretty well and describe that. But did you ever notice, like, Jesus, when he was on the cross? How many remember what Jesus said hanging on the cross along this subject matter? What did he say? Everybody knows. It is finished. But yet, was it finished? Where? So, what did Jesus finish? His Father's will. What else? What he was sent to do. I know everybody's kind of saying the same thing. What he was sent by his Father to accomplish. He finished it. So if people were trapped in the earth, well, that's what Adam did, right? Adam went out in sin, put on these skins of flesh that were corruptible, and sin was everywhere. It was pretty obvious that no matter how many times God spoke to people, what was the one thing that people couldn't do in the Old Testament? Stop sinning. What? Who else spoke up?
Obey.
They couldn't obey, could they? It's like you could go through measures of obedience, and then you wouldn't do it. Have you been there? Have we went through that? Like I'm fired up. I'm going to obey, and then a month later, what happened? Continual disobedience working in our members. Why? Because when Adam went out, he trapped everyone in flesh and in earth. That's why Jesus came to open heaven and remove flesh. And we know flesh is not just what we call our skin. Flesh is a mind, isn't it? It's a mindset. So what Jesus did for us most of all was not remove earthly skin as much as he removed the mind of flesh. To me, I'm like, wow, that is so good to think about. Because when he removes the mind of flesh, do you stop disobeying? Because it's the mind of flesh, Tim, that disobeys. So if that's removed, then what can work there? The mind of the Spirit. So now you could be spiritual. Now that's what Jesus came to do, right? Now think about this. Jesus came to die on a cross and finish that work. In other words, I came to remove the mind of flesh so that you could have power over the mind of flesh, over earth, your earth, so that you could actually live your life in the flesh without being overpowered by the mind of flesh. Everybody get that? I mean, that's gospel 101 right there, right? Like Jesus removed the mind of flesh. Now I can walk in the earth and have the mind of Christ. That's awesome. But then it's like, so that's it is done, it is finished. And it's like, yeah, but I thought there's supposed to be a new heaven, new earth coming. That part he had not done yet when reading the story. Now, in the beginning, there's all this bouncing back and forth. Well, it was all done in the beginning, yeah. But imagine, even in the beginning, didn't the story have to be told? So he had to tell the story. And imagine a big congregation in heaven. You ever thought about that? The congregation in heaven. Everybody says, well, in heaven, they just worship God. Okay, that they do that for sure. But have you ever thought that in heaven they also have congregations where they gather and they speak about the word of the Lord and tell the great mysteries of God to all of heaven? Or do you think all of heaven just knows everything? What do you think? Never thought about it, probably. Well, think about it. Because in the beginning, the Lord had to bring forth all the creation from himself. What do you think he had to talk to him about? All his thoughts, all his plans, all his purpose. And the difference between what happens in the earth and what happens in heaven is that in heaven, they at least believed. And in earth, we go, huh, what? When? Give that up now? Like, right now, Dave? Like, I can't do that. Like, I need to live my life a little bit. Then I'll give my life to Jesus. You know, all kinds of crazy thoughts. That's earth. But at least in heaven, there's an opportunity in the spiritual mind, Tim, to hear it and walk right into it. It was in the creation of the soul and the earth that all of a sudden things became a little more complicated, right? Why? Because there's a soul now, and souls have opportunity to do what? Make choice, which can lead to what? Good and evil. And most of the time when you're dealing with good and evil, what do people lean toward? They go toward evil. Isn't that interesting? So we're suffering from that, but there's an overcoming, and that's what Jesus came to do when he said, "It is finished. I have done the work my Father sent me to do," and that is to overcome sin, that is to open heaven again because no one's trapped anymore. And now I'll send out my apostles and let them teach everyone into what I just did. Now that is good. And see, that's why we keep pressing about the apostles' doctrine and the apostles' teaching. And to just revisit it over and over is because every time you read in the apostles, you're learning how to think like the mind of Christ. Now, which one's better? To learn it in a mind of flesh or in the mind of the Spirit? Okay, what's the mind of the flesh look like when it's trying to learn God? She said evil.
Trying to figure it out.
Okay.
And you're frustrated.
You can't just figure it out. Wasn't that one of Rick's favorite words early on? Stop trying to figure it out. And then I remember being in conversations where I'd say, Rick, what I'm trying to figure, what I'm trying to understand. Is that, anybody else ever done that? See, I didn't want to admit that I was trying to figure it out. All of a sudden it dawned on me in my speech that I'm trying to figure it out. And I'm like, oh, backpedal. Okay. Yeah, it's confusion. You're right. So in the flesh, learning in the flesh is not really learning God. It's just cycling in more flesh. What's that?
Wilderness.
Worldliness. And yeah, right? What else? That's a good answer there. Figuring it out. Frustration. Trying to learn in the flesh. What else do we do?
Judge
outwardly. Boy, that is so true, Keith. Because, see, what a major hindrance. And, you know, we're talking about things that we've been talking about for a long time. But we got to keep in remembrance. Judging outwardly keeps you in the flesh. So, does judging outwardly empower the fleshly mind? It does, doesn't it? So it feeds the fuel of remaining in the earth. When the Lord came and said, but I opened heaven, why don't you see how they learn in heaven? This is why I brought up learning in heaven And we talked about it Wednesday night in our Bible study, is there's a heavenly place. In the heavenly place, you're not thinking about earthly things. In the heavenly place, you're not trying to write down every single thing so that you can go back and visit it. We had a conversation this week, Julie and I, we were talking about that, what we spoke about, the remembrance. And funny how the mindset that, and I've had this before plenty of times, I write it down, and okay, I walk away from it, and I forget it, but when I go back, I can look at it, oh, it's quickening me again, it's remembered. But what happens when you walk away again? You got to go back a third time, or a second time, and a third time, and a fourth time to keep remembering it. Is that earthly or is that heavenly? Tim, when he said, I'll write it upon your heart, that's different. Remember what the scripture says, Tim, because you thought on this for a while. I'm not going to write it in tables of stone anymore. I'm going to write it in the heart, the fleshly tables of the heart. That was God's words. So in heaven, what do you think he specializes in? Writing in the heart. Versus, hey, take these notes. Take these notes. Now here's a funny thing. I don't go around telling you not to take notes. And in this world, you might need a lot of them. That reminders app we have on our phone, oh, I love that thing. But when it comes to God, there's something in us that has to be broken. What is it? The lust and the need to depend on the flesh to remember. Now, I'm telling you something. For years, I used to think, if I let go of all these notes, I am not going to have anything. I'm not going to have anything. Guess what I didn't know? I didn't have anything anyway. The fact that I had to have the notes meant I didn't have it. But I thought I had it because I had the notes. True or not? When the revelation or understandings begin to come that let the Lord write it on your heart, then I started learning, there you go. Trust God in everything you do that the Lord will be there for you and for him and for the kingdom. Boy, you're talking about life changing and peace coming in? Much better. So what is God trying to do? What was the "it is finished" Jesus did on the cross was to remove learning in the flesh. Did the disciples learn really good in the flesh as disciples? Yes or no? No. We mentioned this as well. No, it says many times in there, especially John, he would write that after Jesus was glorified or after his resurrection, we remembered his words. You know what that tells me? And this is a true statement. Most of the parables, if not all, that you go through in life and in the flesh, you don't really learn it at the moment you're going through it. You know when you learn it? Is when you come through it and the Holy Ghost is there to show you all things that you went through. That's where you learn it. And we're going, no, I got to pay real close attention. I even tell you that. Pay close attention to your parables, right? Well, I'm saying that because I know, and we know, that a visitation from God can quicken all those bad parables and reveal everything you need to know to overcome them. That's what we're after. The "it is done" that Jesus did will help you accomplish that. And you need to know that when he says "it is finished," he might be talking about a very specific work. And that's why I hit on last week in Revelation 21. Matter of fact, let's go there because I got to reread chapter 21 down to at least a few verses. And I know you love this. This is This is what the Lord is doing when he went away to prepare a place for us. This is where Jesus says again, I went away, I've prepared a place, it is finished or it is done. But all you out there, notice I said out there, he's making a point. He's saying, if you're not in the finished place yet, I finished it, so I'm calling you to it. That's what we talked about last week, remember? I want to say it again very strongly in this meeting again today, because we have to believe that we have a hope of what is already finished. Some of you might be on your journey right now to the "it is finished" that Jesus did on the cross. Some of you may have worked that in you and may be on your journey to the "it is finished" of the new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem, all of that. Either way, both accomplishments are really, really amazing and big. How many of you could say, I know heaven's open and I have overcome sin with Jesus Christ? It is finished. See, don't even raise your hands. I'm provoking you. How many of you could say, it is finished? I've hung on the cross with Jesus. I'm still in the earth. The new heaven, new earth isn't really in its fullness in my understanding. But there's one thing I believe, Tim, is I can walk this life without falling to sin every day. See, I'm after that. Because I need you, whether you've come to the end of all things or not, I need you to know that you can walk in your walk with God without sin. You have to at least believe that, right, Tim? That would mean that Jesus on the cross finished it, and you believed it with all your heart, you receive it, and now you're forgiven, and you walk like you are. Think about that. How many of you walk like you're forgiven? Right? Good. I mean, walk like you're forgiven. So you can catch the lies that tell you you're in sin. Now, don't walk around going, I'm forgiven, I can get away with anything now. Remember Paul's writings? God forbid, shall you continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul was a master at knowing that. He knows how tricky humans are. You think that you can get away with sin because you say, I've been forgiven and I can just do what I want? No. The Lord knows how deceptive we are, right? But I'll tell you what, the Lord's doing such a good work here. And so we get to Revelation 21. Let me just read that, verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. I think I described the sea part in the conference, so I'm not going to go into that. But imagine the old earth, the old heaven passed away. Huh. And a new heaven and a new earth. Now, my question to you is, can that happen in you? Right here. While you're alive, right now, can it? Yes. So you have to believe that. But here's the other thing you have to believe. Is that what you're pressing toward? Are you pressing toward that? Or are you just wandering around, I'm just trying to serve God? No, have purpose. There's a new heaven, new earth that the Lord wants to put in you first and work it in your consciousness right now. Make sure you have that purpose, okay? Verse 2 says, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, with people. And he, God, will dwell with the people. And they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now notice something here. Why is this ending different from the first ending I talked about with Jesus on the cross? What do you think? By this verse we just read, the tabernacle of God is with men. God will be with his people. His people will be with him. What do you think the difference is? Do you think the apostles lived in this? Did they? God had come down, the New Jerusalem was in the earth, and the apostles were living in the New Jerusalem, or were they still in the flesh having to interact with God? Did God abide in the earth with them? But what I'm saying is, God did not abide with them in the earth as a living place, as a home. They had a hope, so did the Lord still have to appear to Paul? Why couldn't the Lord just walk up to him? No, he had to appear to him. They had to have visions of the Lord. You see the difference I'm making here? Hope nobody's confused what I'm saying. Because when the new comes, the heaven comes down to earth. When the apostles was walking in the earth, heaven and earth was still divided for everyone. In them, they experienced heaven, but they still had to interact with the Lord through the Spirit. And the Lord was not abiding in the earth. That was to come. And so here he says, let's do away with the old earth and the old heaven where it's divided, and let's make it all one so that we can make this heaven and earth a dwelling place for God and people. So that, think of it like this, in a physical sense, you have to come to church, right? Now, you could say God is here, couldn't you? Because you say, well, I brought him. You could say that. But in a physical sense, is he here? You're not looking at God up here. You would have to be in the Spirit to see him. In the new, you're going to look upon Jesus like you're looking upon one another here. Think about that. That's a home. That's a habitation. That's a dwelling place. In other words, and I'm not going to go any further in that. What I'm trying to say is we should have a hope that there'll be no more separation. I don't have to go to one another and try to hear from God. I could live with Jesus Christ. And that's our hope, that one day we will put off all flesh and we will live with him and walk with him. We have access to the temple every day, which is him. And therefore, it's like, what is all this for? Because there's a finish coming that I'm working toward. I'm keeping the commandments because I'm faithful with God and God is interacting with me, but there's coming a time where the Lord will be there, will live in the same house at all times. Think about it. How many of you live your life and you meditate on God, but you get distracted and then you have to return to meditating on God? You see my point? That's where heaven and earth is divided. You got to be quickened. You got to be woke up. You have to be stirred up. It's like, in the new heaven and the new earth, you think someone's got to walk around and go, Tim, would you wake up, man? Come on, get with it. Let me stir you up. No, I'll tell you what the Bible says in Jeremiah and beyond, because I'll get into all this later. But in Jeremiah, you know what he prophesied? The city, New Jerusalem, will be the throne of God. And when you come together, you won't be saying, let's go worship the Ark of the Covenant. No, that won't even be in your mind. Coming to like a, what we do here, it's not even in the mind anymore. He says, you will not even be asking to know God. You will know him. In the new, you're not going, oh, I need you, Lord. I want you. I need you. Please talk to me. In the new, it's not like that. In the new heaven and earth, you are receiving of the Lord, interacting face to face, and the Lord is present, and none of those distractions are even there. We go, I want that. Yeah, but right now, I need you to walk in the it is finished that Jesus forgave you of your sins. And that you need to learn how to walk in the earth as faithful men and women of God to keep the commandments. Can we do that first? See, if we can do that, getting to this place that we're reading about in Revelation, that ain't even a problem. That's the greatest hope we have, is to be in the same habitation with the Lord Jesus. You mean I can access the throne at any time? Yep. How many of you think you can do that right now? Anybody ever had a problem going, well, I'd like to see the throne. I'd love to go before the throne. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's start by walking in forgiveness and in obedience and in the commandments, and the Lord will start interacting with you with the throne. And he'll start visiting you with angels and appearances and all of that. And guess what happens after that? You get so connected with God visiting you that you start talking about, I can't wait to have this division removed and where God has to come and appear to me. I can't wait to just put all this off and go be with him. That's the way we start to think. It's amazing. But first, we got to put all the earth off. That part's been finished, by the way, right? It's finished. We could put the earth off in our thoughts. How many of you are ready for it? Ready? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. I know you are. Did I make that clear? Is there any questions about the differences of what I was trying to say here? Makes sense in my mind. But we're good? Okay. If you think on these things and you need to talk about it, let me know, okay? The spiritual mind is where God's going to reveal it to you, okay? So let's trust that. I read verse 3. Let's read verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. That sounds like earth. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Is that too good to be true? Question, and then the last part says, for the former things are passed away. Come on, everybody. Is this what we're hoping in? You see, my point is like, right now, I can walk in the earth without sin. I can serve God. But you know what? There's still some pain. I still suffer sorrow. I still cry. Not exactly in public, but it's there every now and then. I mean, I'm crying inside, right, Tim? That's how that works. I'm just being funny. But the point is, you could see that when we're walking, even the apostles, Paul, he made this point. Man, I still deal with fear. I still deal with sorrow. I still deal with pain. And you could never say that Paul wasn't full of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He had heaven all in him, didn't he? And yet he still dealt with all those things. You know why? He was still dealing with an old heaven and an old earth. And the Lord was telling him, I'm going to bring you to this. That's why he can talk about it as well, which I haven't got into yet, Paul's teaching on the New Jerusalem. And so It's really cool looking at this as a hope. But notice what it says, verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Thank goodness he wrote them down for us, huh? See, there's a good example of when you do need to write it down. And then verse 6, and he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And verse 7 says, He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. There you go, Tim. Look, he said, It is done. What's the it is done that he's talking about now? Heaven and earth being one. All of it coming together where we are not separated by an earth that is defiled. See, the real key to this whole teaching about being it is done is knowing which one you're in. See, it is done. Bear with me while I repeat myself. Okay? It is done for the church here. The Lord has died. He has resurrected. That work has been finished. We are forgiven. But there's one thing that is not finished yet. We still deal with pain. You, in your thoughts, forget even the flesh, the physical flesh. You still deal with pain in your thoughts. You still deal with sorrow. You still deal with temptation. You still deal with fear. These are the things that Jesus said, it is finished on the cross. I have given you power to overcome these things. So here's my question. Can you have fear and yet not be overcome by it? Can you? Yep. You say yes? Who says yes? Let me see your hands. Who says no? So you're aware. Now, I have you raise your hand because now you're accountable. Now you're accountable. If you say yes, you're accountable to what? I know that I might have fear, but I don't have to be overcome by it. I'm not serving it, Tim says. I'm not serving fear. And Romans 6 even goes on to say, I don't serve sin, right? Same thing, same mindset. The it is finished there is such a hope. And what if some of you in here today are still saying, well, Jesus, he died and rose again. That part has not even really been finished in me yet. I'm still dealing with Adam. I feel like I'm an Adam coming to Jesus. That's possible for some. What is the it is finished on the cross? What does it become to you if you're still dealing with the first Adam? A hope. That Jesus did the work. He said it was finished. Therefore, it is. It's true, Dave. So therefore, what am I going to keep doing? Obeying? Following? Coming to it? Here's my question. The disciples, were they in Adam as disciples, or were they in Jesus? Everybody says Adam. I could see why you'd say that. But you know who else they were in? Jesus. You know why they were in Jesus? Because they stayed so close to him. They stayed so close to him. And even when they dealt with their own rebellion, they stayed under his covering, Tim. And he guided them. So you couldn't have told Jesus that they were in Adam. Could you? You see what I want to do here? They came in the mindset of the first Adam, but by staying close to Jesus, what was Jesus teaching them? You're not an Adam anymore. I know you're dealing with flesh. Let me teach you how to deal with this Adam. And then Spirit visited them. They walked as apostles. Did they deal with the first Adam every day? They did because of the flesh. But did the first Adam have power over them? No. Because they walked in Jesus. I feel like we've talked about this a lot so that you would understand or follow where I'm coming from today. That's been done for us. In the eyes of Jesus, the new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem's been done as well. But it's been done in him, and he's declared it. And John is testifying of it. That's awesome. So we have multiple witnesses. Paul testifies of it. Peter testifies of it. Matter of fact, Gary he's testified about the dream or vision you had, the vision, I think, going home that time. Is that how you said it, about the heavens being on fire and the earth? God consumed it all. He saw that through the eyes of Peter. How Peter wrote that in his epistle. How's this old heaven, old earth going to go away? Going to burn it up. Bethany's going to burn it up. That's the promise of the Lord, because Peter saw it. Today, we have witnesses that God has visited to show us that very thing. Is the promise coming? Is it true? Yeah. And there's times that if you, in your consciousness, can be aware of more spiritual ideas and more spiritual words of God and give yourself to the presence of God, you'll learn to stay there more. But the more you give yourself to the earth, you stay there more, don't you? Come on now, everybody, I keep reminding you of this. The world, they know how to keep us bound. There's a lot of bondage in the world. And we will not follow that. We're going to go up to the heavenly place. And so therefore, I wanted to bring more attention to last week when I said it is done. But then in Revelation 22, the Lord kept talking about, come, come, I've finished it. But boy, did Jesus help us out with that. And in our church, I want to do the same thing the Lord did by saying to us, we finished the work. That's what Jesus said. I've finished it. I've prepared it. Now, come to that. So when the Lord revealed that he was resurrected, what did we teach? That he was resurrected? Come to the resurrection. Is that not it? As the Lord revealed all the works of the church, the building of the church and the apostolic doctrine, what did we preach? Come, join the church. Let your temple be built, the house of God in the earth as well, in heaven and in earth. And then there's, making it real simple, now this other idea is now in place, and it's been coming. That there's more to the it is done, there's more to it is finished, there's more in the mind of the Lord, that there's a place prepared for you that is far greater than what you are perceiving right now. That's what we're looking for. So how many is going to get your eyeballs open and see that? And look, don't stress it, don't rush it, don't lust after it. You will not get in the new city with lust. Can't do it. So Marty, we could just humble ourselves before the Lord, and the Lord will guide us right in. Isn't that an awesome thing? I don't need to figure it out. Do you? I think the Lord already took care of all that. What do you say, Tim? The one thing we're looking to think a lot alike in that's greater is walk by faith. Trust in the Lord. Let the Spirit guide you at all times. Flesh won't get you there. How many agree? Amen. That's awesome.